الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا قوم ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we continue witnessing the atrocities and the genocide, the massacre, the slaughter, the bloodshed, and as the death toll rises, and we continue to feel the pain and the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, we are continuously reminded of what is our duty and what is our goal and objective when witnessing such atrocities taking place. Undoubtedly, every person feels the pain and the suffering that our beloved Muslim brothers and sisters, specifically in Gaza and throughout the whole of Palestine, that are suffering. We feel their pain. It is something that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also advised us, that the believer, the mu'min, is like one body. The entire Muslim ummah is like one body of a person. If any part of a person's body feels any pain, if a person's finger is paining, if a person's leg is paining, if a person's head is paining, then his entire body feels that suffering and the pain. If a person's head is paining, then he does not separate it from his body, but his entire body now takes a break for the day. So like that, we feel the pain and the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters, like it is our own body. Together with that, where these atrocities are taking place, also causes us a lot of pain and a lot of grief. It is in a very, very Mubarak and a very, very blessed land that has been taken over, a land and a place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed time and again refers to as the blessed land. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the traveling of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, as we know, was instrumental in the construction of Masjid al-Aqsa. And after constructing it, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for three things. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ Dear O my Allah, bless me with such a kingdom that no one after me will have such a kingdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And such a vast and large kingdom that Sulaiman alayhi salam had, that it cannot be compared to any kingdom of today. Not only did Sulaiman alayhi salam have control over mankind, but Sulaiman alayhi salam had control over jinnat, wa shayateen kull banna'i wa ghawwas. The jinnat used to dive into the oceans and bring about the precious jewels. The jinnat were builders. They used to build and construct buildings, many of which are still present today for Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam control over the animals. Wa hushira li Sulaiman junuduhu min al-jinni wal-insi wat-tayri fahum yuz'un. Quran talks about the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam as they were gathered and straightened in rows, consisting of man, consisting of jinnat. Even the bird was under the control of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Hatta idha atau ala awadi naml. Quran talks about the valley of ants, the colony of ants, which is in this Mubarak land. And Sulaiman alayhi salam heard the whispering of the ant also. Such was the power that Allah Ta'ala had given Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. The bird used to go and fly and take messages for Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam control of the wind also. Wali Sulaiman ar-riha huduwa shahrun wa rawahu shahr. Sulaiman alayhi salam used to travel by means of the wind. What used to take an entire month's journey, Sulaiman alayhi salam used to stride by the wind in the morning. What used to take an entire month's journey, Sulaiman alayhi salam used to stride and use the wind and travel in the evening. And where he used to travel to? Wali Sulaiman ar-riha asifatan tajri bi amrihi ila al-ard allati barakna fiha lil-alamin. Quran talks about where Sulaiman alayhi salam used to travel to also. That Sulaiman alayhi salam had control of the wind, he used to use the wind and travel to the blessed land, which we are talking about, the land of Al-Aqsa and Palestine. So Sulaiman alayhi salam was from that Mubarak land, and he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala had granted him a vast and a powerful kingdom. Second dua he made, that if he passes judgment in any matter, then let him be fair in passing judgment. Allah Ta'ala also accepted this dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The third dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam made after constructing Masjid Al-Aqsa was that, O may Allah, if anyone visits Masjid Al-Aqsa solely for the purpose of ibadat, then let him return forgiven in such a way that he will return like the day his mother gave birth to him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that we have hope, we do not know, but we have hope that this dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam is also accepted. And time and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the blessed land in the Quran and Majid. Other Anbiya salatu wassalam, when they experience hardship and difficulties, and Allah ta'ala saved them from their hardship and difficulties, like Nabi Lut alayhi salam, when he called his people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they declined his da'wat, and they were a very, very immoral nation. And eventually, Allah ta'ala gave him the instruction that he's going to destroy them. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they cast him into the fire. Allah ta'ala saved him, Allah ta'ala protected him. Allah ta'ala talks about their salvation when Allah ta'ala protected them, saved them. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ referring to Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَلُوطًا we saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, we saved Lut alayhi salam. And where did we take them? إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ after saving Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam from the atrocities of their people, Allah ta'ala says we took them to the blessed land, the land of Masjid al-Aqsa, the land of Palestine. Together with that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a lot of difficulty and hardship in Makkah al-Mukarramah, one was the years of boycott of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the Quraysh, by the Kuffar of Makkah, when they boycotted the Mubarak family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they banished them to the valley of Abu Talib. For many years, nobody used to deal with them, trade with them. They were going through hunger, they were going through poverty. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas mentions regarding those years of the boycott. He says that we experienced such hardship and difficulty that one night I was so hungry, I had come in the darkness of the night and my foot fell upon something that was moist. But due to the extreme hunger and the darkness, I was so desperate, I did not even look at what was down by my foot. But I picked up this moisture that my foot fell upon and I placed it into my mouth just to satiate my hunger. That was the difficulty the Mubarak family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had experienced during the years of boycott. And even after the boycott was over, it had its effects on the elderly of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the foster father, the adopted father, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, had not accepted Islam. He passed away as a result of the hardship faced. Together with that, our beloved mother, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she also passed away. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after undergoing, this was Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow, after undergoing these setbacks and losses, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertakes a journey to Taif. Perhaps they will accept the da'wah and they will accept the message of Islam. Time doesn't permit us to go into the finer details. But they rejected the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, they had caused such harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They began pelting Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with stones, that the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was flowing with blood to such an extent that the Mubarak shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became clogged with blood. Many years later, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which was the most difficult time in your life. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it was this occasion of Taif. The most difficult day in my life. The hardship and difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had suffered on this occasion. And after all these years of hardship and difficulty, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mubarak journey. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. As other anbiya were called to this Mubarak and blessed land, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also called to this Mubarak land. Mufassirin of the opinion that it was a form of comfort for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Mubarak journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens close to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a Mubarak journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it included the blessed land and Masjid al-Aqsa. We find that Masjid al-Aqsa is the only masjid upon the surface of this earth that guaranteed every single Nabi of Allah perform salah there. It was on this occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the imam, and every Nabi of Allah performed salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Ta'ala had chosen Masjid al-Aqsa for this event to take place. Together with that, there are only two masjids in the Quran that are mentioned by name. Allah Ta'ala references other masajid in the Quran, like Masjid al-Quba, Masjid al-Ussisa al-Taqwa. Other masajid references made in the Quran al-Majid. But as far as name being taken of a masjid, only two masjids, the name is specifically mentioned in the Quran al-Majid, Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa. Hazrat Maymunah radiallahu ta'ala asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if any one of you have the ability to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, then he should visit it. But if he's unable to do so, then at least he should send some money to pay for the oil that is lighting up the lamps of Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who performs salah in Masjid al-Haram, then the reward is multiplied. There are different riwayat, according to one riwayat, 100 times more in Masjid al-Haram, in Masjid al-Nabawi 1,000 times. And that person who performs salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, the reward is multiplied 500 times more than performing salah in a person's local masjid. Like that, there are many, many virtues, there are many, many blessings regarding Masjid al-Aqsa and regarding the blessed land. Allah Ta'ala mentions, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. That Mubarak land, we have blessed around it. And that is why we find also today, many, many products come from that Mubarak land. And the best products are found in that Mubarak land. Masjid al-Aqsa was first conquered in this Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 15th year after Hijrah, during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Amr ibn As, many, many armies, very large armies were conquered under the leadership of Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had defeated the Romans. And now when he goes towards Masjid al-Aqsa, they had settled inside the compound, and for many months siege was laid to Masjid al-Aqsa, but they were unable to conquer it. Eventually, Hazrat Amr ibn As learned that in their scriptures it is mentioned that the keys for Masjid al-Aqsa will be given to the hands of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions this, that we are unable to conquer, and we have laid siege, and they were facing very, very difficult conditions, cold weather, snow, etc. When Hazrat Umar, this vessel receives him, so he sets out, Hazrat Umar and only his slave, two of them, they set out on this long journey from Madinah Munawwara towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and one animal between the two of them. They used to take turns riding this animal. Sometimes Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu should ride the animal, sometimes his slave should ride the animal, and like that they continue on this journey towards Masjid al-Aqsa. When it was the last leg of the journey, it was the turn of the slave to ride the animal. So the slave tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that now we are about to enter Palestine, you're about to enter Masjid al-Aqsa, I forfeit my turn, you ride the animal. So Hazrat Umar refused. He said, no, it is your turn, and you ride the animal. And like that, in this condition, the slave riding the animal, Hazrat Umar holding the reins of the animal, they enter Masjid al-Aqsa, and the enemy, when they witness the sight, the master leading the slave on the animal entering Masjid al-Aqsa, without any bloodshed, without any blood being spilt, immediately they say that this is what has been prophesied, and this is what our scriptures had said, and this is the person that is going to conquer Masjid al-Aqsa, and they hand over the keys to Masjid al-Aqsa, to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from that time, 15th after Hijrah, right up until the year 483, Masjid al-Aqsa remained in the hands of the believers. And thereafter the Christian crusaders took it over. And for that 80 odd year period, or 90, almost 90 years, from the year 495 to the year 583, many, many Muslims were made shaheed. Approximately 70,000 were made shaheed. And the condition was worse than now also, in the sense that even salah was not being performed in Masjid al-Aqsa. But once again Allah Ta'ala had willed for Masjid al-Aqsa to be returned to the hands of the believers. And Allah Ta'ala had chosen at that time Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a leader of the time. But the outstanding qualities that he had possessed, and these are the qualities we need to bring to our lives also, friends and elders. One was Salahuddin Ayyubi never missed Salah with Jamaat. He never performed Salah on his own. For a 40 year period, not once did he perform Salah on his own. We want to see Masjid al-Aqsa once again in our hands. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his Mubarak journey of Mi'raj, which included Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned with a gift. And like any family member who goes on a journey, we wait to see what they have brought back. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his Mubarak and his miraculous journey, and he brought back a gift. Such a gift that it is the mi'raj of each and every believer. Such a gift. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amunu sta'inu bis sabri wa salah. Allah Ta'ala instructs us in the Quran Majeed that seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience and with salah. This is the direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tool of linking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. So this was the quality of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi, that he never used to perform salah on his own. He always used to perform salah with Jamaat. And he was a king, but zakat never became fard on him. He never busied himself in the glitter and the glamour of this dunya. He turned away from all the glitter and glamour of this dunya. Sometimes people used to mention to him that, why are you not eating and drinking? He says that, how can food taste good to me? And how can I enjoy the taste of drink and food when Masjid al-Aqsa is in the hands of this believers? Such as his worry and concern. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tool of seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the one hand, Allah ta'ala instructs us to exercise patience. Ulama mentions that patience, sabr, comes in 3 forms. On the one hand, a person should have sabr in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr, when shaitan and nafs will deter a person away from the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that azan is being called out, and each and every other attraction is placed in front of this person, then is he going to respond to the call of the muazzin, or giving to the desires of his nafs? So this is the one type of sabr, that to exercise patience, and turn away from your nafs and live a life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of patience is that when the call comes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the various attractions of this world are placed in front of a person, we are in such a time of the year when in the forces of batil make an extra effort and turn a person away from the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every effort is made in deterring a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it in the form of entertainment, be it in the form of holidays, be it in the form of parties, etc. Various effort is made by the forces of batil to turn a person away from the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then are we going to make sabr and live a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we going to fall into the temptations of our nafs and our shaitan? And the third way to make sabr is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever condition a person is being presented with, to exercise patience in these conditions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this one tool, and is a tool that we should utilize. And how often we hear this, how often we hear this, that if we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to come upon salah. That the crowd at the time of Jummah should be the same as we witness at the time of Fajr. Then we will see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. Together with that, friends and elders, to bring about the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into each and every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life, to bring the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in this country we find that we are in a strong position. The Muslims, Allah ta'ala has given them a lot of barakat. Allah ta'ala has given a position of strength. Now, we have these bounties and these ni'mats. We have abundant information at our disposal. We have abundant institutions of Islam and deen at our disposal. We have masajid, we have madaris, we have the maktabs. These are all ni'mats and bounties from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has placed us in a strong position. Financially, we are not short toward contributing towards these institutions also. Are we going to make shukr and utilize these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to utilize it? Or are we going to turn a blind eye on these ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Sahaba had also come to Africa. And when they had come to Africa, they showed the people the goodness of Islam. They showed the people the goodness of deen. They told the people, kunu mithlana, become like us. They showed them the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala has placed us in a strong position. Let us use the strength that we have to create awareness. And what awareness? Awareness of the goodness of Islam. Awareness of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Awareness of the goodness of deen. Let us create an awareness in the people of the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the time of the year when many of the locals now, it is their time to spend. Let us show them the akhlaq and the teachings of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to carry out our lives, to carry out our various responsibilities. Together with our friends and elders, let us use this also to create an awareness and not turn people away from Islam and deen. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one leader in the area called Yamama. His name was Sumama bin Uthal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had written to him to accept Islam, but he rejected the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tore the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began killing and harming Sahaba. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this grieved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now issued a fatwa that if Sumama were to be captured anywhere, then he has to be killed. Sumama was on his way to Medina Munawwara to perform Umrah. When he was passing by the borders of Medina, Sahaba, not knowing who they are capturing, they captured him and they brought him to Masjid al-Nabawi. They tied him in a pillar in the back. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes the next morning and sees him tied up against a pillar in the back. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the Sahaba that, who is this? Do you all know who you have captured? They say, no, we saw this leader passing by. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is Sumama bin Usal, an open enemy of Islam. Thereafter, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes up to Sumama and inquires about his condition. So he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, if you kill me, you are going to kill a person whose blood is lawful. But if you leave me and set me free, you will find me to be very, very appreciative. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter, for three successive consecutive days, brings food from his own home and feeds this open enemy of Islam. And after 3 days, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again inquires on his condition. And he tells Nabi Akareem sallallahu the very same thing. That, O Nabi of Allah, in taqtul taqtul zat damin, if you take my blood, you are taking the blood of someone whose blood is lawful. But if you set me free, you will find me to be very appreciative. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter sets Sumama bin Usal free. He leaves Masjid al-Nabawi. As he's coming out of Medina, there is a pond. He washes himself and comes back into Masjid al-Nabawi. And loudly in the presence of Sahaba, he recites the Shahada, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He was a leader of Yamama. And he had such control over Makkah al-Mukarramah that he used to supply them with food and with crops and grain, etc. And now after accepting Islam, this was the very, very same group of Makkans who had literally driven Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Makkah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, then he turns around and addresses the city, that, oh Makkah, your city that is most beloved to me, were it not your inhabitants driving me out, I would never have left you. And now this very, very great same group of people, Sumama bin Usal, now imposes sanctions upon them. He refused to supply them with any food. Makkah is going through drought at that time. There is no food, there is hunger, there is poverty in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Who did they turn to? They turned to none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same Nabi that had driven out a few years earlier, now they turn to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for help and assistance. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sumama, that, oh Sumama, this is not the way of Islam, this is not the teaching of deen. So Sumama accepts the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and once again he resumes supplying Makkah al-Mukarramah with crops. Friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the akhlaq and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us utilize our position to show the akhlaq and spread the goodness of Islam and spread the goodness of deen, the teaching of Shariat. We find that through this good akhlaq and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is the country of Yamama, that the town of Yamama accepted Islam, and thereafter Makkah al-Mukarramah, Islam began spreading, and through the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many, many countries thereafter began accepting Islam and deen. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala remove the suffering and the difficulty and the hardship that the Muslim brothers and sisters are experiencing. And hidayat, if hidayat is muqaddar for them, may Allah grant the enemies hidayat. But if hidayat is not muqaddar for them, may Allah ta'ala destroy them, like how Allah ta'ala destroyed the nations of the past. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.